21 years. I remember where I was at that day. I was at the locker plant eating breakfast. And I thought I was seeing something on TV as I watched the first plane go into the tower number one. I thought it was an animation. I really did. And then all of a sudden, I could see this other plane coming, and it come in, and it went into the second tower. But what really was stayed vivid in my head, it still does today, as I watched the towers burning, and I watched the people running and crying and crying out to the Lord, is I watched people jump to their death. I'll not forget that day. Today, is my message is going to be centered on 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 through 22. And we've heard this scripture quoted a lot. But it took a new meaning to me as I studied. As I first preached this message in 2013, and then 2 years later, I preached it again. And each time that I preach this message, it changes as the world changes. Do we understand that? Last Sunday when I was here, I told you that I like to ask questions. Hadn't changed any. How many of you submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Be careful now. Said, how many committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now I want to ask you the final question. Is how many has surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Unconditionally. We sang a song that said, draw me near. But don't interfere with me. Oh, that's sort of like an old song we used to sing, Almost Persuaded. Not quite, but almost. Is I won't ask you to stand for the reading of the word. And it says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague upon my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father did, and do all I commanded and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I coveted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and I go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name, and I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all the peoples. And though this temple is now so imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord the God and the fathers who brought them out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, as I just pray that you would give me this message, as Father, as I prayed for an anointing, is Father, give me the words, your words, Father God, not mine, that I can convey to these people of what this really means. In Jesus the Christ's name, amen and amen. I have sat down here and I have watched I remember President Ronald Reagan, is whenever he was first inaugurated, is he demanded, not requested, he demanded that the Bible be opened to this verse of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want you to remember that day, is when Reagan was inaugurated, right before his inauguration, is how many of you remember the 450 captives for all the days that they were in Iran? Before he was inaugurated, they were released. The second time that Reagan was inaugurated, he demanded the same thing. This time, you know what happened? Communism fell. And not only that, the Cold War ended. You know, as I started through this scripture, as I found out something, is that in Sunday school class this morning, Brother Scott didn't really understand how he was walking hand in hand in Habakkuk with this message. We're good at complaining. I was amazed at how many testimonies we had today. But I'll promise you something, is I'll bet I can ask every one of you if you've got a problem, and I probably won't be able to preach anymore. I got a whole pocket full of problems. You want some of mine? It didn't take me very long in reading this scripture. In verse 13, if America wants this blessing from God, we better get right with him. It's imperative that America has God's blessing for the following reasons: to live, to be financially stable, and I want you to listen to this, to have the physical and moral well-being in this great nation. Now, I can stop right there, and I can preach on that one attribute. I have found out that we're far, far, far away from the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. I'm watching our churches being torn apart. I'm watching our people sit down and throw their lives away, throw our children's lives away. You noticed that I brought a lot of books with me today. There's a reason I brought these books. Anybody know what this book is? I may know what this book is. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Quran. This is the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Quran. He's a prophet. He's mentioned in this book. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Never, ever forget that. Why have we strayed from Him? Do we really believe what we say we believe? How does America receive God's blessing? If you really want to know, ladies and gentlemen, I think America's under judgment. Do you realize that we're losing 45 churches a month? Do you realize that the Muslim faith is 1 in 6 of the population of the world is Muslim. And they're growing every day. I'm not telling you that Muslims are bad. I'm just telling you the fact. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. I will tell you now that God's blessing of America depends on God's people. God will not change America until God's people change. Never, ever forget that. As I sat down and I watched, and I turned the news on, my wife she gets tired of hearing the news. As I told you last week, is in December, as I lost my brother, one of them. They're both gone now. But that's neither here nor there. But before he passed on into eternity, as we were sitting down there discussing the world news problems, etc. and so on, and he made a statement to me, and what he said was, he said, "Aren't we living in great times?" Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Is God's blessing for America depends on 4 things. Humility. That's a bad word. What does it mean? Servant, not boastful, meekness, not overbearing, not self-centered. Wow. Luke 14:11 says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I really don't care if you think I'm a good preacher. But boy, I really care what the Lord thinks. We've become so busy, obstinate, You're not going to like what I'm going to say now. Is he's become a God of convenience instead of God of necessity. And I will tell you something now. Is America is paying a dear, dear price. I remember an old black lady that my wife and I were friends with, and we went to a funeral. And it started raining, just pouring in buckets. You know what she said? She said, God's washing the footprints away of the people that have passed on. As I was driving down here today, and it was raining in buckets again, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I said, maybe he's trying to wash away the footprints of the towers. Nobody knows the number of people that perished that day. What about the homeless people that was there that perished that nobody took account of? Think about that. You know, the next thing that has to happen in America is prayer. Humility and in prayer. How's your prayer life? When we truly learn to pray with sincerity, with conviction, with purpose, but praying in God's will. Do we really mean that? Do we really mean that? Do you really want God's will in your life? I want you to listen to me. There is a time when he says no. For some reason, this country doesn't understand that. How many people have you talked to that's come from churches where there's division, where there's hate? Yeah, that's a good word. If you really define hate, it is lack of love. And we wonder what has transpired and what has taken place in this country. I usually don't do what I'm about to do. Is I usually don't badmouth denominations. I'm going to make a statement about God's blessing of America. We have become so denominationalized. We have become so legalistic that we have become so non-spiritualistic that we have put Jesus Christ on the back burner. A lot of people don't like to hear that statement. I'm sorry if I offended you, but I'll stand with that. Do you understand that it's time that the pastors of America stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and sat down and said there's a time of division that's coming? For some reason, we think that we're immune to it. Let me make reference to the Nicolaitans, if you will. I'm going to tell you something. As I heard Pastor Scott get up here and he said something about worship, seeking His face, the reverence of, the fear of the Lord God Almighty. I don't mean being scared of. I'm talking about awe. Do you want to know something, y'all? What, Mom, 5 years? 6 years for your diagnosis? We sit down and we got a message. Not my wife. Me and her together. I told you last week that after 20 years, she ceased being my wife and then she became my companion. A closeness. You realize that's what God the Father wants? He wants a companion. He wants you to sit down and He wants you right here in pocket. Get in His pocket. This is what I told my wife, and she told me. Is we've had many, many discussions about this. But it changed our life. Our prayer life has changed. Is when we get up in the morning and we see the sunrise, I can see the architecture of how great an artist that the Lord God Almighty is. Whenever we go out on the porch at night and I see a sunset, He's done this. And yet we sat here and we talk about important things, like whether my little girl's a girl or my little boy's a boy. Or whether somebody can go into a girl's bathroom of the opposite sex. These are important things. I remember whenever they lit up my White House in rainbow colors. I remember that. But I'm not supposed to get up here and preach it. I might offend somebody. You know, Brother Scott, the third thing, we have to desire His presence. I want Him to be an intricate part of my life. I want Him to be an intricate part of my wife's life. I want Him to be an intricate part of your life. That's what I want. Now what I get is two different things. This is what people don't understand. Do we really, really, really desire His presence? Or are we just saying that? I once preached a message, are you a fan or a follower? A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. Well, hey, wait. You can sit down. They own 35 Bibles. They can quote Scripture. They sit in the church pew every day. They say that they know Him, but their life don't show it. Now, that's my definition of a fan. A follower is a whole different story. Whenever we sit down here and we talk about being a follower of Christ, do you really mean that? You know what He promised you? He said, if they persecute me, they're surely going to persecute you. Now that just really makes me want to follow Him. Wow. I mean, what a promise. But you want to know something? Don't ever forget this. He's just in his judgment. I thank him for the imputed righteousness. There's a word people really don't want to talk about too much. People don't understand it. I can sit down and use the word propitiation. I mean, I can use a whole lot of big words, but I don't like to do that. Is what I'm telling you is this. Is he has a desire of your presence. He loves each and every one of us. I don't care how bad, how vile, how ugly you are. Is he loves you. Unconditionally. Why is it that we can't get it from here to here? Why is it that we have trouble witnessing? Boy, people get tired of talking to me. I had to go to the bank and do some business the other day, and I ended up witnessing. I went to the doctor's office. I ended up witnessing. That don't make me... Listen, I want to talk about him. I mean, he's done so much for this old man. I don't know what he's done for you. I know what he's done for me and my wife. Excuse me, my wife and I. I better change my... Somebody might correct me. But anyway, it makes no never mind. But what I'm trying to explain to you is this. Why is it that America has become immune? Ladies and gentlemen, I showed you this book. I'm going to tell you something about this book. Unless you're a Muslim, you're an infidel. You know what this book says about infidels? You have to go. That's what it says. Do I read this book? Yeah, I do. Do we really desire his presence? You notice I brought my handy-dandy little folder today. Southern Baptist sex abuse report stuns the pulpit to the pews. May 26, 2022. 300-page report of pastors, of lay people in the Southern Baptist Convention. Name appeared in this report. We talk about the Catholics and the priest. We talk about the division within the Methodist denomination. We talk about the division within the Christian or Christ Disciples denomination. We talk about the division in the United Brethren. Is, ladies and gentlemen, his... Bear with me here just a second. Why is it that all of a sudden we have sat down here and we've taken this book and we've started tearing pages out of it? Why is it when a pastor stands in the pulpit and he makes a stand for the Lord God Almighty, is the people in the church want to throw him out? Explain that to me. Show me one time in this book, right here. Show me one time that Christ ever compromised. What part of thou shalt not don't we understand? You know, as I sat down and I prayed for an anointing for this message today, I said, Lord, I said, give me the words that you want me to convey to these people. Not my words that's written down. I want to know what he said. What he's got for me to give to you. What is it that we don't understand? Complain, complain, complain. We're good at it. I want to show you something this morning. And I'm going to show you here very shortly. How many of you is familiar with what's going to happen January 1 of 2023? Is your life is going to change. It's going to change. They call it the Safety Act. This is whenever they sit down, and there's no bail, by the way. And it says, look at this. It says, under the new law, entire categories of crimes such as aggravated batteries, robberies, burglaries, hate crimes, aggravated DUIs, vehicular homicide, drug-induced homicide, all drug offenses, including delivery of fentanyl and trafficking cases, are not eligible for detention, no matter the severity of the crime or the defendant's risk to the specific purpose or community, unless the people prove by clear convincing evidence the person has a high likelihood of willfully flight to avoid prosecution. Ladies and gentlemen, you're talking to a retired cop. And I'm going to share this with you. That's just part of the downfall. Our governor signed that into law. I sat down here and I brought this little yellow book. If you can't read that, it says drugs. Are you ready for this? I see a couple youngsters over there. Recreational drugs, a directory. Recreational drugs. Oh, there's MTA, there's antibiotic steroids, there's caffeine, there's stimulants, there's amphetamines, there's oxycodone. I mean, I can go on. As I work with the drugs. I can refer you into the Revelation. Is the word that's used in the Revelation is sorcerer, by the way. It talks about two different sources. One of them is Pharmamachai, the other is Pharmamachus. One of them is witchcraft and the other is druggist, by the way. Oh, I see a funny look. That's what that means. Is I'm going to share this with you young people. Let me talk to you about fentanyl just a second. Something that's coming into this country that's being made in China. It's coming through the southern borders. Are you ready for this? The size of a straight pin head will kill you. Yeah, this is what's coming in. So when we sit down here, see, that's what I don't understand about desiring his presence. That's what I don't understand. God will not bless this country till number four. God will not bless this country until America becomes disgusted with its own sin. What does that mean? I can sit here and go on and tell you this. In Psalm 17, which is a prayer by David, and at this point in Psalm 17 is the term the apple of God's eye is used. I think it's used probably about three or four times throughout the Bible. What that actually means is that he was asking for God's protection because the eye has become so vulnerable, if you will. You ever get a gnat or a piece of dirt in your eye and you say, oh boy, I mean, it just kills you. Is the apple of the eye, is he's asking for a protection. I want to share this with you. Instant after instant after instant. How many of you has heard of a stiff-necked people? How many of you like to be referred to as that? In Exodus 33, Moses sat down as he was leading the people. And Lord God Almighty had told him. He said, Moses, he said, I've told you to leave this place, but he said, I'm not going to go with you. He said, if I go with you, he said, I'm so mad that he said, I'm liable to hurt you. I mean, that's paraphrased, but that's what he's saying. He said, I'm going to send an angel with you. I know a lot of people don't believe in angels. But what Moses sat down and what he said was astounding. He said, Lord, if you're not going to go with me, just leave us here. I don't ever want to be separated from you again. I heard Brother Scott referring to the loss of loved ones a while ago. In some instances, it's one of two ways. You're either with him or you're without him. He needs eternal separation. Think about that. You really desire his presence? Hey. But you know, and we become is King David with Bathsheba. I mean, we sit down here and guess what? Is the old world conquered King David? Don't get me wrong, ladies, please. But he had an eye for the ladies. It ended up in murder. Lie after lie. And finally, when David realized what had happened, whenever he confessed his sin and he repented, and he said, Lord, he said, I have sinned against you and you alone. There comes a time when each of us become accountable. I don't know your condition. Only you and the Lord knows your condition. But I'm going to tell you something. Write this down. Never forget what I'm going to say. For every sin, there's consequence. David's consequence was, is the Lord God loved him with all of his heart. He prospered the whole nine yards, but his family paid the price for generations. The baby that was conceived out of this affair was taken. Sin has its consequences. This is not a tough message to preach. But I'm going to share something with you. It says, what happens when we return to Him? It says, He hears us. Remember what Habakkuk said? He forgives us. And He heals us personally and nationally. I told you about a personal experience last week. I didn't quite finish my testimony. As I quit praying, and I started crying out, is there a difference?
Yep.
I'll give you an instance of a family problem with me. And I prayed 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 and I prayed. And guess what? Nothing happened. Did I become impatient? Yes. Did my faith become shallow? Yes. Was I starting to lose heart? Yes. And whenever I cried out, it was answered in less than 24 hours. How many times did the children of Israel pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and God the Father didn't hear them until they cried out? I have sat down and I've wondered about this. I composed a list of 8 things that we have to do when we pray. Number 1, it has to be a believing prayer. That comes with Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Number 2 is a watchful prayer. That comes with Matthew 26 and 41. Number 3 is a persistent prayer. Comes from Luke 18:1. Number 4 is a Christ-centered prayer. John 14:14. A Bible-centered prayer. John 15:7. A compassionate prayer, Matthew 9 and 38. A submissive prayer, Luke 22 and 42. A meaningful prayer, Matthew 6 and 7. Our prayer life, church, has to change. If we want to change America, is our prayer life has to change. Our walk with the Master has to change. All this gobbledygook that they're putting out from the pulpit. I've seen the word apostasy today. Go to the book of Jude. I don't know if Jude copied 1 Peter or Peter copied Jude, but it's all the same. It's apostasy, apostasy, apostasy. Is our churches are alive and well with it? Our seminaries are alive and well with it. They call it wokeism. But I'm going to tell you something. Write this down. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. verses 1 through 14. You can write this down and you can read them later. Tells us what he will do for obedience. Chapter 28, verses 15 through 68, tells you what he'll do for disobedience. This is not a game. It's not a game. I sit down here and I composed a list. I'm going to scare you a little bit now. This is a list of 63 to 64, 65 people that sits in the House of Representatives. Every one of them has close ties with the socialist and the communist. Now, that may not seem like a whole lot, but the problem of it is there's no security checks in the House of Representatives. So, be governed accordingly. As we talk about communism, this is 45 goals. This is the agenda of the Communist Party. Every one of these that's highlighted has been done. Quite a lot, isn't it? Are they real? Yeah, they are, and said. People will divide into hostile groups, constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Destroy the people's faith in natural leaders. Always preach true democracy, but seize the power fast and ruthlessly. Get control of all means of publicity. Get people's mind off their government by focusing their attention on athletic sex books and other trivialities. Sound familiar? See why your prayer life is important. And I'm going to close now. I'm going to tell you what. Yes, it is important. Do you want eternal separation? Are you a fan or a follower? Do you really believe what you say you believe? And all God's people said, Amen.